Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And away we go. Hour number three. Well, for KVI, it's hour number one, but for Dr. Jerry Mixon and yours truly, this is hour number three. Jerry, stop yawning. You're not supposed to yawn like that.
Why not?
People will see you.
Oh,
yeah? No.
Sorry? Turn off the camera.
Hey, this isn't... I mentioned this when we started at 8 o'clock. I just love good weather, and I can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah, so
I mean, I'm enjoying the show.
We're in this little room with gray foam covering all four walls.
That's right.
Fluorescent lights above.
That's all right. We're not complaining. It's just that I've got my granddaughter and two grandsons coming over to our house as soon as I get home, mm-hmm. because the COVID thing created something new in our neighborhood. Oh. We have a food truck that comes to Westside Park, which is just a couple of blocks from uh-huh. our residential community. And it's a taco truck. And it comes every Tuesday and Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And so they're coming on over, and we're going to walk up to the taco truck with my grandkids. Three of them, anyway.
Sounds good.
Yes. So it'll be a fun day. In the meantime, it's not so fun if you're not feeling good.
Nope.
If you haven't slept well. If you have a pain in your shoulder, your neck, or what have you. You have no energy, maybe. Maybe you've lost your libido. Man, that's a bummer. Lots of reasons why you may be listening to this show, and you have a question. And guess what? Dr. Jerry Mixon is sitting right here, and we've got 2 hours dedicated to you, literally dedicated to you and your health concerns. So here's the toll-free number. All of the lines are open right now, so it's a good time to call 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757, and pretty much anything goes. Maybe you've got a question about your husband, your wife, girlfriend, daughter, parents, and you need a second opinion. You need help. I can't think of a better person to ask than Dr. Jerry Mixon, literally. So here again is the number. Do not hesitate. It's easy to talk with us on the radio. We hardly ever get mad at any of our callers.
Hardly.
Have we ever? Oh, I suppose there's been a knucklehead or two.
There has been the occasional guy who irritates me, but you know.
That's okay. Again, here's the number, 1-888-312-5757. Yeah, there's no secrets here. We just take calls. And anything goes.
Yep.
1-888-312-5757. Like we did at 8 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. We've got new listeners, a whole bunch of new listeners. Why don't you do a quick review of where we are with this crazy virus?
Okay. Well, we've got two conflicting trends. Infection rates are way up.
Yep.
Deaths are way down.
Very good.
At our peak back in April, about 32 to 35,000 people a day were getting infected. And we had about 2,500 to 2,700 deaths every day.
That many?
Yeah.
2,500
That's
or so.
Nation.
Yeah.
The whole country put together.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, on a daily basis, we're up to about 55 to 57,000 infections.
Twice as many?
Well, not quite as many, but about a lot. Yeah, a much, much higher number of infections than we ever had at our peak. And yet, deaths are down to about 600 a day instead of 2,500.
That is very, very good news.
Yes. So lots and lots of people are positive with tests. Lots of people have symptoms, you know, but the number of people dying is a tiny fraction of what it was before, even though the number of infection is much higher.
So what am I missing here in with all of the hysteria about the COVID? I mean, understandable, we're testing a whole lot more and some younger people are getting it. But if the number of people actually dying has dropped by 75-80%, isn't that good news?
That's very good news. Sure. Because, you know, and the death rate is even better because you got almost twice as many people infected, but
that's right.
75% that's fewer total deaths. So, I mean, that means that the death rate is down by, you know, 90 plus percent.
But that death rate is still among the very, very oldest and already infirmed.
Yes. Well, you know, cancer patients. People that are on immunomodulation drugs. If you're an arthritis patient and they've got you on an immunosuppressant for your arthritis, or, you know, I kind of cringe when I see the commercials now for, you know, for things like psoriasis, and they're promoting that you go on an immune modulator for your psoriasis.
That's right.
Yes, it'll get rid of your psoriasis, but you'll probably die of coronavirus if you get it. So, you know, I don't want anything to suppress my immune response right now.
Oh, ever. Never, so, hardly.
Well, again, if I had really bad rheumatoid arthritis, I'd want it, but I don't. And so reality is, much younger, healthier people are getting infected now. And to what extent that is that we've done a better job of protecting our most susceptible, and what percentage of it is just that we've already killed off our most susceptible, I'm not sure. Probably some mix of the two. You know, 0.6%, that is 0.6%, six people in 1,000 live in nursing homes. 0.6%. But that 0.6% of nursing home patients is 40 to 50% of the deaths.
Right.
And that shows you how lopsided these numbers are. I mean, this devastated the nursing home population. Those of us not in nursing homes, you know, we tend to do very well, even if we're old. Even if you're in your mid-80s and you get coronavirus, your risk of dying is about 1 in 6 or 1 in 8.
That still is not good.
That's still not good.
Yeah.
But if you're under 40 and you get coronavirus, your chances of dying are 1 in 10,000.
Yeah.
So
what do you think about going back to school? I mean, it seems like it's a political debate going on rather than a debate of logic or common sense.
I saw an ad, I don't remember, it was from the Atlantic or one of the far liberal papers, said, Trump wants your children to die.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. But he knows that your child is in a lot more danger on his skateboard than they are from coronavirus. Bicycles, skateboards, and scooters kill more kids than coronavirus by a large margin. The fact is, children do very well with this. Now, yes, we do have the multi-system inflammatory, basically the Kawasaki disease. But Kawasaki disease is triggered by any and every virus under the planet. Influenza will trigger it. Epstein-Barr virus will trigger it. Any number of common viruses will trigger that. That's just an immune deficiency that some tiny percent of children have, and it's not unique to the coronavirus. So, yeah, our kids aren't going to die of coronavirus. Our kids might get an education if they go to the right school.
Well, even we shouldn't really talk about education because our kids don't get a good education.
Well,
even
my kids
do. In school. Well, mine did too.
Yeah. But the reality is that, you know, American children are 37th in the world. We spend more money educating our kids than any other country, but 37 countries have better educated children than the United States. Children that can read, write, do math, conduct essays, know things about history. We are 37th on the planet, despite our vast spending on education. And yet we have politicians saying, oh, let's keep our kids out of school so America can fall even further behind.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the rationale why Democrats want to keep things closed up generally. And
not all Democrats.
Well, most.
But, you know, I don't want to put it to party. I just say.
Oh, I don't want to either. It's
any
just
politician.
That's the way it is.
Well, any politician that wants to keep the kids out of school, I want to know his reasons. And if he's saying that they're in danger for coronavirus, I'm saying you're out of your cotton picking mind. Go look at the numbers.
Well, what would be another reason then for keeping them out of school? I mean, I know you're trying to be nice and kind, and I'm not. But
they believe their own propaganda. That's a serious mistake. Propaganda are things that parties and organizations put out to further their own purposes. And propaganda frequently has twisted versions of the truth. It's frequently a lie in one form or another. But too often, political groups believe their own propaganda. They're putting stuff out to sway other people, and they believe it themselves.
Yeah. It's called delusion.
But it happens, and it's common. And so there are governors out there of whatever party who may honestly believe that if we send the kids to school, they're all going to die.
Yes. Oh, that's what the definition, by the way, of delusional. They do believe it.
Yeah.
They do
it
believe
it. Just doesn't
it.
Happen to be true.
That's right. Anyway, sad thing. So we hope, I hope, well, two things. I hope kids can get back to school. And I hope we can sometime in the near future deal with our educational crisis, even when we can be back to normal school. But that's another political topic. Won't go there right now.
Nope.
All right. I'll tell you what. We've got to go to a break right now. We've got several calls we can take. We will take. We've got a question about anemia. We've got a question about COVID and donating plasma. We've got a question looking for an alternative to Premarin. We have someone who was listening during the last program, last hour, and wants you to talk about senescent cells again. Well, I think we'll hold off for a little while on that. Maybe
we'll get to it sometime in the next 2 hours.
Yes, we got to.
I'm sure the subject will come up.
And then around 11 o'clock, I got a text this morning from a friend with a question. That was hoping Dr. Michael Gilbert could join us. So I texted Dr. Michael Gilbert, and he's going to join us at 11 o'clock for 5 or 10 minutes. So keep your questions and your minds open. If you've got questions about your eyes, cataracts, LASIK, whatever it is, Dr. Michael Gilbert here at 11. We will be back before you know it.
And I can tell you that my strength, my energy is great. I have two granddaughters who run Green Lake, and I can run right along with them.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
An old world smiling.
Louie.
When you're laughing.
When you're laughing.
Oh, you're laughing.
When you're laughing.
Mm-hmm. When the sun comes shining through.
Shining through.
When you're crying.
When you're crying.
You bring on the rain.
Stop
your sign. Won't you be happy again?
Hey, welcome back. It's 20 minutes past the hour. I'm Pete Talbot, and I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with me, the founder, chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinic.
I generally like Louis Armstrong.
Louis Prima.
But that particular song.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody did it better than Bing Crosby. It was a lot slower and mellow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember Bing doing that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Louis Prima. But close.
Well, he had the same gravelly voice.
Well, kind of. Not quite as gravelly as
Armstrong. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, you just heard a lady during the break leading up to that song saying that she's a grandma, but she can run along. Green Lake, I think she said, Green Lake, with her kids and grandkids.
Yep.
That is a perfect picture of longevity patients that are doing things that they couldn't even do 20 years ago.
Multiple generations of vigorous, active, joy-filled lifestyles. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what we're after.
You've heard me say this 100 times, 200 times. Do not develop a fatalistic attitude, which is easy to do, that, well, I'm 60, well, I'm 70, well, I'm 80.
My answer is always, so what?
Yes.
You ain't dead yet.
That's right.
So let's get as much improvement as we can.
That's right. And this is why, by the way, the health analysis appointments that are free, we've been doing this now almost 2 years. Wow. We give you 2 free tests. And we give you, by the way, through July, we also give you $100 of longevity supplements. But we've got good news and bad news. The bad news for you is we don't have any more available in Tacoma or Kirkland for the month of July.
Yep.
And we're sorry, they're in high demand, even though we keep adding the number each month, they're still in such high demand. But we do have, and I don't understand exactly why, but we do have 13 or 14 available in our Linwood clinic.
Which is odd, because they usually fill up pretty evenly.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Cycle, we got a lot of, we filled up Kirkland, we filled up Tacoma. Linwood still got some openings, so go get them.
Actually, I think it's because of some people in Linwood and Tacoma took a vacation or something. I don't know what it is. But we've got some in Linwood later this month. So we encourage you to go grab one. Again, you get the 2 free tests, and you get the $100 of longevity supplements. If you've been meaning, you've probably said to yourself, to your friend, your spouse, whatever, I should really grab one of those free appointments. And I agree with you. If you don't measure, you don't know, so let us measure for you. If you'd like to make one of those appointments, you simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push the button right in the middle of the page that says schedule appointments, and that's what you do. Easy to do. Super, super easy to do. Please do it. Don't procrastinate. You'll be glad you did. Okay. Now, let us, we're not going to talk about senescent cell therapy right now, even though I desperately want to, maybe a little bit later. Let's go to Whidbey Island, however, and talk with Don.
Okay. Hello, Don.
Hello. Can you hear me? All right.
How can we help?
All right. Well, I'm a very vigorous fellow of age 90, and I have been very active all my life. I've had heart problems, however, for about the last 30, 40 years. And I'm out working in the garden all the time, but a while back I began to get short of breath. And I have known that I have essentially 2 problems, which obviously are getting worse. One is anemia, which recently led to a point of where I had been taking Procrit, finally led to my doctor saying, well, ultimately you really have MDS 5Q, this bone marrow cancer, which is very slow, and, that won't kill you. You don't have to worry at your age. And recently I had last week I had to have a blood transfusion because the Procrit stopped working, and I'm waiting to get put on Revlimid. At the same time, I've had heart failure symptoms for some time, and my echocardiograms and ejections and what have you. And recently my legs and ankles started swelling up. So my cardiologist put me on diuretics, and now, after 3 weeks or so, I've lost about 10 pounds, and finally my ankles the last couple of days are looking very, very good. So we're actually going to be changing and reducing some of the diuretics. One of the reasons is that my last blood panel a couple of days ago showed that my sodium now is on the low side, which I guess is pretty obvious from taking all the diuretics, especially clarissamide, what have you. I'm being switched to turisamide. But the point I wanted to get to, a simple one at the end here, is, okay, having low salt would seem, you know, logical that perhaps I can help myself along the way here by eating more, put more salt in my diet. I don't put salt on anything. You know, whatever happens to be in the, you know, in the vegetables or in whatever it is, that's the way it is. I never sprinkle salt on anything. But I'm wondering if I should, you know, for instance, I could add V8, things like that. Would that help actually get the sodium up? I went on the internet and in trying to find out that very answer, and I got, it's very confusing. It almost looks like they're telling you don't eat stuff with a lot of salt in it, even though your sodium is low. So that's my question. Should I should I try to eat foods that might help this turisamide and other things along, or is that counterintuitive? What other kinds of, if so, what kinds of food would be good to increase?
Okay. Let me weigh in here. You threw a whole lot of stuff out that most of the audience has no idea what you were talking about. So let me see if I can do a little education of the group first, and then we'll go to our recommendations, okay? This is a older gentleman, 90 years old, lived a long time, very active. I like all of that. But he has what he referred to as MDS, which I'm presuming means myelogenous dysplasia syndrome, where basically the, or myelodysplastic syndrome is an alternative to that. Basically his bone marrow is not making blood cells as efficiently as it should. It is kind of a near cancer, but not quite. It's where the bone marrow is not working well. It's got some dysplasia, some abnormal characteristics to the bone marrow, but it's not overtly cancerous, but it is just odd enough and damaged enough, it's not making blood worth a hoot. As a consequence of that, he gets quite anemic. He's been on drugs that were designed, the Procrit, designed to stimulate some hormone changes to increase his bone marrow production of red blood cells. When you don't have enough red blood cells to carry the oxygen to your tissues, you fatigue, you get tired, you get short of breath, you can't do as much because even though you're pumping blood round and round, you're not carrying enough oxygen because you don't have enough red cells. So things poop out. His other problem, however, is he referred to congestive heart failure. Now, this is making things even more complicated for him because not only does he not have enough red cells to carry things around, his heart is not pumping efficiently. That left pumping chamber, the big left ventricle that's supposed to pump out the blood very efficiently, is getting tired. The muscle's not functioning well, and so his pumping efficiency starts to decline. So now he's got two things. Hasn't got enough red cells to carry the oxygen, and he's not pumping enough blood, even if he had enough. So then he was noticing that his feet and ankles were swelling, and this is right-sided heart failure. When the left side doesn't work well, you then get the right side failing too. And so the pressure on the right side of the heart is rising, and this is pushing fluid out of the capillaries and the venules into the tissues. It produces what we call edema. This is fluid buildup down there. So they put him on diuretics, and the diuretics' job is to force his kidneys to urinate more and waste more water. Unfortunately, when you start wasting that water with the diuretics, your sodium and potassium levels get wasted with it. And so he's losing sodium and potassium. Some of the medications he is probably on, although he didn't give us a big medication list, can be used to preserve the potassium, but they're not as good at preserving sodium. So his question is, should he eat a little more sodium? And the answer is probably, modestly, but be careful. because it's easy to overload on sodium. Human beings love the taste of salt. And if you eat as much salt as your taste buds desire, you're likely to increase the oncotic pressure in your system and end up with more edema. So, you know, can you have a glass of V8 from time to time, which is a salty version of tomato juice? Yes. But watch it, okay, and consult with your cardiologist very carefully, because you're touchy. This guy is right on the edge, and it would be very easy to kick him over the edge and put him in fluoride failure. He's leading a very active, vigorous life, yeah, despite his illnesses. And I say despite, because these are illnesses that most people would be getting tired and giving up on. I love his attitude. Stay active, but stay in close consultation with your cardiologist about that salt.
We appreciate the call, Don. Great question, and good luck to you there. We're proud of you. 90 years old, and you're still out there fighting.
Yep.
That's great. Hey, that opens up a line, which means you can call in with your question for Dr. Mixon. The number to call, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757.
I started playing in the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League when I was 51, and I started pitching. And the guy was my regular catcher for the 3 years before I started the program, was catching me one day after I'd started on the program. And he came out about the third inning, and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you've gained about 5 or 6 miles an hour in your fastball." And I didn't go into think about longevity at the time, but I just kind of knew that that was what was making the difference.
Boom, 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 boom.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know.
35 minutes past the hour. Glad you're with us today. We've got one line open. If you want to call with a question, we'll get to you before you know it. 1-888-312-5757. Right now, let's go to Seattle and talk to Bob. Bob, we're glad you called.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. I have a question about COVID. I was recently, last week, went to the University of Washington and had an antibody test. I do have the antibodies. I don't have any, currently have any symptoms.
Good.
I was wondering that since I have the antibodies, if there'd be a way for me to bank them, because I understand that no one's sure that the antibodies don't go away after time. However, I can find absolutely no way to bank my own plasma. It's like they won't allow that.
You're right. They won't.
Why?
Well, because blood tissues in America are tightly controlled by the federal government. And unfortunately, politicians make rules. Their rules are frequently not permitted to make sense. So, you know, that's just the way it works. Anytime you got the feds in charge, you can figure things are going to be rigid, made for whatever rule they were thinking of at the time. And, you know, no one was thinking of COVID. So, yeah, they can, there are people willing to take your blood, isolate the serum and antibodies and give it to other people, but yeah, there is no provision to take your blood, isolate serum antibodies, and store it for you. Sorry, that's the way it is.
Another part of that is, are these, if you donate plasma, because I have the antibodies and they want my plasma.
Of course they do.
Is it safe to donate plasma because they return the blood after they run it through whatever machine does the plasma separation? I don't know if I like that idea. I was wondering if I couldn't just donate the whole blood and then let them take the plasma out of that and not give my blood back to me.
Well, they could, but they can get a whole lot more of your antibodies by doing it the way they're doing it. See, if they take your whole blood and they then just in the lab isolate the plasma and dump the blood, they can only get about 500 cc's total. And only about half of that will be serum, which contains the plasma. So out of 500 cc's, they'll get 2 to 250 cc's of the plasma. If they do it the way it's currently done, They draw the blood out. They separate the red blood cells and the white cells, and they put those back in. They remix that then with a saline solution and run that back into your veins. So you don't get low volume. And that way they can take out 2, 3, 4 times as much plasma without making you fall over when you stand up. And so it's more efficient from what they're doing.
I'm just worried about the cleanliness aspect of it. In other words, running it through a machine that a lot of other blood is going to run through and then putting it back.
No,
I don't like the idea of that.
I understand that. But these plasmapheresis machines, they're one-time use, and all of the components that come in contact with the blood are thrown away after every patient. They don't clean it.
Okay,
hold on 1 second. I just want to explain to the rest of the audience. It has a cartridge with malleable, elastic sort of stuff. So the rollers and so on that are moving things and the centrifuges are all being done inside of a closed, sterile system. And so all of the parts that is ever touched by blood, used for one patient, thrown away, and a brand new one comes out for each person. So anyway, go ahead.
I have a last question about my knee. I have an old compound meniscus tear. It's come back pretty hard on me. Exercises do help. My doctor gave me diclofenac sodium gel 1%. It's an NSAID. I heard you mention things about messing with your immune capability. I'm hoping that does not bother the immune capability by using that.
The gel, it should not interfere. When I was 40, I developed an Achilles tendonitis on my left ankle, and it has reoccurred periodically. I got it back just a few weeks ago, and I had him write me ketoprofen and in a cream, and I just apply the cream right to the area, and it's made a dramatic difference in just the last 3 days. Local use of the NSAIDs is much, much safer than oral use. So you're probably going to do fine if you're using a gel that you're just applying locally.
Okay, and in my COVID situation here, I take resveratrol, flushable niacin, collagen, CBD oil, and ubiquinol. That's all I take. Any of those problematic?
Nope, should not be problematic at all. I would follow your vitamin D. 25-hydroxy vitamin D levels have a dramatic impact on who gets sickest with COVID. People with high levels don't get sick very well or very often. You've already had the disease. The odds are that you are going to be protected for at least a couple of years. We'll comment about the antibodies here. I guess some people who don't get very sick, they get the disease, they get a little fatigue, maybe a tiny runny nose or something. They don't even know they're really sick. Many of them will make very low levels of antibody. And those people, the antibody will often fade quickly. And we can test them later and find out they're negative. They're antibody negative within weeks of getting infected. But even those people have usually developed a T cell immunity. So even if the antibody is low, the CD8 cells will usually provide them with good immunity in the future. So I wouldn't be too worried. If your antibody levels drop, that's made by the CD4 cells. The other side of the immune system, the CD8, is probably reacted already, and it will give you very nice immunity even if your antibody levels fall. So I hear a lot of people worried about saying, my goodness, I don't know that my antibodies will stay. Don't worry about it. We probably have twice as many people immune based on their T cell profile than we do based on their antibody profile.
I know I read that there's research facilities that can determine the number and strength of the COVID antibodies. I'm going to have to look into that to see if there's a way I can get them to do a little test on the number and strength of antibodies.
And if you're going to have your immune system looked at, what you really want, although it takes a lot more blood, you want them looking at your T cell function. Because that's the other side And as I said, probably twice as many people are immune to COVID based on their CD8 T cells than they are from their antibodies.
Okay. All right. Well, you answered all my questions. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's go to Tacoma and talk with Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. Hi.
How can we help?
I have a question here. I've heard you say this before. I was given a prescription for Premarin. Mm-hmm. When I saw that, I thought, oh, I remember old Doc Nixon says, no way. No way. Right. And so now, I don't know if this doctor knows any other alternative, but maybe you do.
Oh, yes, I know a lot more. I never, ever, ever, ever use Premarin.
You never, ever use Premarin.
No.
Millions and millions and millions of people are on Premarin.
I know, and it's a mistake. Premarin is not a human hormone, okay? Two-thirds of the hormones in Premarin are found only in equine species, horses, donkeys, and zebras. Human beings do not make most of the estrogens present in Premarin. And those estrogens actually accelerate the rate of cognitive decline.
Oh, boy.
You increase your risk of dementia by using equine estrogens instead of human estrogens. So, you know, if I'm going to give a woman estrogens, I will use a mixture usually of the estrogens found in human beings, estradiol or estriol or some combination thereof. Estriol is present mostly when you're pregnant, but estradiol is the primary human estrogen year-round. They all have upsides and downsides, though. Estradiol, while it is the primary human estrogen, is better for your memory. It's better for your verbal abilities, so it helps your brain in those ways. It does stimulate or prevent bone loss. Stimulation of bone is testosterone and dehydroepiandrosterone, but the estrogen at least slows bone loss. But it will quite frequently result in your breasts getting more tender because it stimulates the glands. And sometimes older women will get some vaginal breakthrough bleeding with the estradiol. So you do need to follow the blood levels very carefully and keep them within a good range. But,
the doctor have to have a blood, draw test before he would prescribe something like that?
We do. And then if we put you on it, we check your blood levels at least every 3 months to make sure we have you where we want you. And most docs never check your estradiol levels at all. They just kind of give it to you blindly based on some formula that somebody came up with in the 1950s.
And Premarin basically is the estrogen from the urine of pregnant horses.
And pregnant horses make a very different mixture of estrogens than human beings do. Yeah.
I would think so.
Yes. Not only are they horses, they're pregnant horses. So...
Well, okay. I'll just have to work on this with a new doctor that I just started with. So,
all right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am. Take
great
care.
Idea.
Bye bye.
She just said the magic word there that new you doctor. Don't like. You know, if your doctor is suggesting that you take and has you on Premarin, you desperately need a new doctor.
You do.
There's zero question about it.
This was good technology in the late 1940s and early 1950s. It was probably okay technology in the 1960s. Mm. There's no reason anybody should be using Premarin in the 21st century.
Literally. And yet millions and millions of women are having it prescribed.
It's cheap. It's easy. It's take this pill and see me in a year.
Jeez. Okay. All right. I'm going to be calm. Let us go to a break right now. And when we come back, we've got a question from Karen in Auburn about hormone replacement therapy. Speaking of hormones, we've got a question from Penny who about her eyes. Well, coincidentally, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert coming on at about 11 o'clock, starting hour number two here on 570 KVI. And then we've got Judith from Seattle has a question about keto gel and relief factor and stem cells. How those, maybe three different questions, I'm not sure. But
sounds like it.
Sounds like it, anyway.
But we'll bounce from question to question.
We will. So don't go anywhere. The next hour and 12 minutes is going to be a whole lot of fun.
I am so glad I went to a seminar. The aging process is not easy. This is not something you can stop, but you can certainly feel a lot better along the way and not have as many of the symptoms that people think is normal when they aren't. And that's what this seminar and longevity will do for you.
Yeah, I think we need to make very sure that we're not promising that longevity will be a fountain of youth.
No, it is not.
But it will help.
We're limited to medicine. We don't do magic.
That's right.
And the fountain of youth would be magical.
That's right. But it's fun to dream. But, okay, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert coming on at 11 o'clock, but right now let's take some more calls. Let's go over to and down to Auburn and talk with Karen. Hey, Karen, welcome.
Hello, Karen.
Good morning. I wanted to find out, my doctor has put me on Combi Patch, and I want to just make sure that that is the healthy Dr. Mixon approved therapy.
Okay. Why are you on Combi Patch?
I had some issues that my doctor thought that this would take care of some problems, some things that caused problems with my sexual relations with my husband.
Okay. So, Combi Patch it's a combination. It's a single patch. It contains two different hormones, a progestin and estradiol. So you are at least getting two different hormones. You're not just taking the Premarin, which is a pretty good idea. It's not my ideal. Has your doctor checked your testosterone at all?
Of course not.
Yeah. See,
and I wanted to ask when I go back to renew this with her, if if she would send me to have my levels checked, but she basically just did an exam and said she had this that would work. It was it's actually been wonderful. It's taken care of all my problems.
It's a whole lot better than nothing. All right. If you're going to use one of the fixed combinations, the Combi Patch is better than most. Certainly better than the last layer.
Are we talking about libido here for all of the?
Libido, vaginal dryness, pain with intercourse, mood swings, hot flashes. You got a lot of the common menopausal symptoms that the Combi Patch can approach. So, to that extent, I approve. It doesn't address cardiovascular risk and stroke risk. It doesn't address bone density as well as I would like it to address it. There are some other things. It doesn't approach stress tolerance and anxiety levels as well as other approaches.
As is often the case, it sounds sort of like a makeshift attempt to do what we do at Longevity.
It's a simple, cheap approach to try to do at least some of what we do at Longevity. And, I approve of efforts in the right direction. I prefer to do the whole thing and do it
right
at its best.
Yeah, that's right.
But, if people are going to do something, the more they do in the right direction, the happier I am with it. The thing that Combi Patch doesn't address is the fact that when you were 20 years old and your libido and your function was at its highest, you had 2.5 times as much testosterone as you had estrogen. Okay. And what's been happening as the decades have gone by is your testosterone has plummeted, your estrogen has dropped. By the time a woman stops having periods, her estrogen is down about 50% from youthful levels. Her progesterone is down about 70%+ from youthful levels. And testosterone is down to about 20% of what it started. So it's down by 80%. The more of those things we replace, the better job we tend to do. And so drive, ambition, self-confidence, stress tolerance are all enhanced more by testosterone than by the estrogen progesterone. Progesterone does a pretty good job of decreasing anxiety, however, and lets you sleep better. The estrogen does a better job of moisturizing your vagina and your genital tract so that intercourse becomes more pleasant and less onerous, which is always very good. But it doesn't make you the horny, lust-filled creature you might have been in your early 20s. And I prefer my wife stay a horny, lust-filled creature. But then, you know, some guys don't care. The other thing is that we've got some studies showing that women that are using higher testosterone loads decrease their risk of heart attacks. And they cut the risk of breast cancer by about 80%. And I really, really, really want to lower the risk of breast cancer. Estrogen is a mitogen. It stimulates the growth of breast tissue, whereas the testosterone does not. In fact, it inhibits the growth of breast tissue, which is why we think it probably has such a big impact on lowering the risk of breast cancer. So I like to give my women a wider spectrum, a more robust view. But it means I have to check their blood levels about every 3 months and make adjustments through the course of the year. Something the combo patch is very simple. Take this, stick it on.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
So it's got the advantage of simplicity. And so, as I have often said, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There's pluses and minuses to every decision we make in medicine. I like your doctor's decision better than the doctor of the lady before you. I just don't think it's as comprehensive as my ideal would be.
Right, right. Well, my previous doctor wouldn't prescribe me anything. So that's, I found a new doctor that would at least, you know, try and address my issues a little bit.
Absolutely, sure. Well, and if this has made your life better, it's made your life better. And who's going to complain about that? Certainly not me.
Right, right.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You bet, you, Karen.
Take care, man.
You bet. And that opens up a line as we head into hour number two here on 570 KVI. Here's the number. Call it at 1-888-312-5757. Penny from Bellevue called in a little early because she has a question about her eyes, and she knows that Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute is going to be here at 11. I had lunch with Michael and his wonderful wife, Colleen, this last week. It was great. I was in there for my regular annual exam, which, by the way, I went almost 2 years. Shame on me.
Shame
here
on you.
I am telling people they need to, if they're over 50, they need to have their eyes examined every year. And there are very, very specific concerning reasons why that is true when you're over 50. But in any event, we'll have Dr. Michael Gilbert with us starting our number two. And we've got to go to a break. We'll have a little bit of news. And then we will come back with the final hour of Leading Edge Medicine. In the meantime, you just might want to snag one of those free health analysis appointments. I told you that we're out of them altogether in two of our three clinics. We have none available in Tacoma, none in Kirkland. But later this month, our Linwood Clinic has, I think, 13, 14, maybe even 15 of the free health analysis appointments. We can't figure out quite why that shifted sort of imbalanced, but that's good for you if you want to grab one of them. We're not only giving the two free tests, the blood test and the special in-body test, but we're also giving, for the month of July, $100 of longevity supplements, too. So there's a lot of reasons why you might want to go and grab one of those. Simply go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push the little button there in the middle of the page that says schedule health analysis appointments, and you can do it. So don't go far. Listen to a little bit of news for a couple of minutes, and we'll be back with the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine.